We all could use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today in the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on a message about Paul. As a matter of fact, the journeys of Paul is where we are in our Bible study of Acts with Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor. And today, as we dive into this first of two-part series on what it is that Paul did to have a powerful testimony, you and I will see how that will affect the way we're going to live out the rest of this week of our life as well. Know that we're here for you. Love to pray with you 24 hours a day. You can reach us at 866-899-WORD. Jot the number down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. Love to listen and talk and pray with you or connect with free resources as well. And we can do it online, keyboard to keyboard at theencouragingword.org. Now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Our Father, when we survey the wondrous cross on which our Lord Jesus died in order that we might be forgiven of our sin, wondrous Savior, precious Lord, we just offer you our praise and our worship today. We come before you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, that we can do this because Jesus is alive. Thank you for the testimony of the cross. And thank you that we can carry that powerful testimony of what Jesus has done for us, saying with great boldness and love in our hearts that because Jesus has done this for the likes of ourselves, that he will do the same thing for all who believe in his name. So bless our time as we continue to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you just love being around so many people in our world today who bear a lifetime of incredible testimony? Their lives are just so inspiring. Like you, I love to be around people like that, just people that inspire me. I received a phone call from Dr. Charles Stanley. I love Dr. Stanley, and if you were there listening to the two of us talk, you'd think that we were just closest friends all our lives. Here's a man that I just love in ministry. I feel so privileged to be counted among his friends. Dr. Stanley's 87 years of age now, preaching up a storm. I offered to give him a good sermon today, and he turned me down. We laughed together and try to get together. And you know, when I'm around Dr. Stanley, I like to just sit there and be quiet. Would you understand if I said that? Love to just listen, the journey of life. Paul was such a man. And God sent this person, just a person like you and me, on a journey. He entered his life and changed him. He went from being a blasphemer of God to someone who was willing to give his life for the Lord. He was radically transformed, and he lived out a life. It was just amazing. I look at someone like Paul, and I say to myself, how could I ever measure, live up to that? I look to a man like Mr. Walter and so many others of our veterans, and I say, how could I ever serve our nation, be the kind of citizen that these people are to us? I look at people like Dr. Stanley and Dr. Billy Graham and my own father and my father-in-law. I look at these people. That God gives people to us for a purpose. I want you to look over here with me. We've discovered something about this journey that Paul has been on. And we know that right here in Ephesus, that he encountered a lot of things. I mean, he was in the city, and the time came for him that he knew that he had to leave. In fact, he not only knew that he had to leave Ephesus, but he was absolutely convinced that he needed to go back to Jerusalem. I mean, that's right down here. And he also knew that when he went back, he knew God was telling him to start heading back to Jerusalem. But Paul knew in his heart that if he went back to Jerusalem, Nothing but persecution waited for him, but he had to go. He was compelled to be obedient to the Lord. And so what he did was he took off from Ephesus and he went back to Greece. So some people have said, well, he was just trying to postpone the inevitable. I don't know that he was. I suppose we could provide some conjecture here, but we just know this in the Bible in Acts chapter 19 and chapter 20 that he left Ephesus and he made his way back into Macedonia and even came down past Athens and Corinth. We know that he wrote one of his great letters to the church at Corinth during this time. He picked up a lot of passengers, people who were great support to him from Thessalonica and from Berea and from other places, and their names are all listed there. And he ended up back here in Philippi and jumped on a boat and he headed across the sea here and he came to this place called Troas, right there, right in the upper left-hand corner of the Aegean Sea, the left-hand corner of Asia. He came back to Troas. And an amazing thing happened there. He was only there for 7 days. No, he wasn't there 7 days, I beg your pardon. He was there only overnight. And he realized that those people needed to hear the truth. So you'll never guess what Paul did. He said, well, I'm going to tell them the truth. And he started preaching, teaching. They went into an upper room, and they had lamps up there in an upper room. And they gathered, they were breaking bread, and he began to preach. And he preached, and he preached, and he preached. And he preached. And then he preached some more. And there was a young man that was listening. And this young man couldn't stand it anymore. They got to about, midnight. And he was probably on his 21st point of his message. And the poor fellow fell asleep and toppled out of the window. Now, that's not funny. He toppled out the window. Now, I just want to say a word here today. I've got 10 points today. And we're particularly watching those of you on the balcony there. That's what happened. He went on and on telling them about Jesus. And this young man fell down and it killed him. It's an incredible story. And Paul, God using Paul as he did, Paul went down and through the power of God and the Holy Spirit, this young man was brought back to life. And as a result of that, the testimony of this event, this miracle that took place, had a very deep impact on this whole region here. Well, Paul took off and he came down to Assos over here, sailed down through these islands here to Mytilene, onto the island of Chios, Chios. Interesting little island here. It's actually not as small as you would think it is. And today it's pretty well populated. Came past Samos here. And some people said to him, you need to go back to Ephesus because you've got a lot of friends over there. And you spent 2 years of your ministry. And Paul said, no. If I go back to Ephesus, they're going to hold me there. I need to get to Jerusalem. So he bypassed Ephesus and came to this place here called Miletus. And something happened in Miletus. Let me read it to you. Open your Bibles with me today to the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 17. Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. I'm only going to read a few verses. Now from Miletus, Paul sent a message to Ephesus. And he called the elders, the leaders, the spiritual leaders of the church, to come from Ephesus to meet him in Miletus. And when they came to him, he gathered the church leaders around him and he said this to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the very first day that I set foot in Asia, how that I served the Lord with all humility and with tears, and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how, despite that, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching you in public from house to house, and testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and of our faith in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a powerful testimony. God has so spoken to me by allowing me to sit at the feet of the Apostle Paul. And I find myself saying many times, how could I ever say the things that he said? Now, I want you to just consider this with me, because I'm going to share with you the keys to Paul's powerful testimony. Let's just unpack this together. What does the Bible say to us concerning this man's testimony? What are the facts of his testimony? Well, number one, that he was affirmed by the spiritual leaders of the church. What a testimony. Leaders are exceptional people. And spiritual leaders, God in his economy selects and trains and raises up great, great men and women of God who are real spiritual leaders. They have a heart for the church. They have a deep heart for the things of God. They translate their secular involvement into the spiritual workings of the most amazing gathering of people anywhere on the face of the earth. And has been said many times, the spiritual temperature of any church or any gathering of any spiritual people in any nation will never rise higher than the spiritual temperature of those who lead. And can you imagine this man Paul gathering them together and saying, you yourselves know? He was affirmed. You know, the affirmation of those that are closest to us are critical.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton. He's got so much more to come in today's message on the keys to Paul's powerful testimony. He'll be back in just a moment, but we pause to remind you that we're here for you, taking prayer requests and connecting with great resources at the other end of 866-899-WORD and online at theencouragingword.org. Really, that's the resource that'll connect you with everything from hearing today's message again to seeing television broadcasts of Dr. Wilton. Speaking of TV, tonight at 6:30, every Monday night at 6:30, we'll be sharing wonderful messages from Dr. Wilton on TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network. I pray you'll consider joining us and maybe telling a friend about it. As God is lifted up, we're watching Jesus draw men and women and boys and girls into himself through the ministries of the Encouraging Word. And would love for you to help spread the word. That's tonight at 6:30 on TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network. And of course, all the places to connect are on our website at theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message, a part of the Journeys of Paul series with Dr. Wilton about the keys to Paul's powerful testimony.
You know, the affirmation of those that are closest to us are critical, of our parents. I still have such fond memories, even when my children were in their growing up years, of going to various functions and activities, and you could have hundreds of people. But it was amazing how out of those hundreds, our children look for the affirmation from those that mean most to them. I love it when you watch a sporting activity. Karen and I watched just a little snippet of this rising great tennis young lady by the name of Coco, who's just 15 years of age. And in the U.S. Open, she played against the number one seed, Naomi Osaka. And it was almost a walkover. Number one seed beat the rising, brilliant, wonderful young lady, Coco, beat her 6-3, 6-love in straight sets in 1 hour at the U.S. Open in front of the world. And the tears and the demonstration of humility and camaraderie and all the things that matter to us. But in the center of all of that were the parents of Naomi Aoka, and the parents of Coco were sitting right there, and those cameras kept going back to mom and dad. Their affirmation mattered. He was affirmed by the leaders. That's the first thing he said as part of his powerful testimony. But secondly, he was faithful over time. Paul's words said, you know how I lived among you the whole time. Paul was faithful over time. It's like he just never stopped. You know, growing weary in well-doing is a very real thing. because the Bible talks about it. I can't lay any blame at Paul's feet if he let it slip from time to time. Knowing how weak I am at the best of times, I probably would have let it slip many times. Evidently, he looked into the faces of those leaders. He said, you know how that I have lived this life among you from the very first day until now. Can you feel that? Is your best yet to be? Have you started for the finish? You telling the Lord today that only by His grace you're in for the long haul. But there was a third key. He was focused on serving the Lord Jesus. You know, verse 19, he just says it out front there. He says, serving the Lord. You know, you bear testimony, you can attest, you leaders, that I have lived this life the whole time. And I've been about the business of serving Jesus. It's quite a statement, that. It's not always easy to keep the main thing, you know. It's not necessarily you and I waking up in the morning and just saying, you know, we are going to just serve the Lord Jesus in every way. Because our environment doesn't always welcome serving Jesus. We live in different places and we live in the court of public opinion. We find ourselves everywhere, from football stadiums to Disney theme parks, to vacations, to great beaches, to fighting hurricanes, to dealing with sickness and sorrow, bringing up our sons and our daughters. But more than that, we deal with pain. We deal with antagonism. We deal with an unkind word. We deal with vengeance. We deal with unfairness, injustice. We deal with brutality. This is not, when I look at Paul's life and we followed him on this journey thus far, none of us would do anything to suggest that it was just a matter of, well, I'm just going to serve Jesus. It's not always popular. In fact, the very opposite is true many times, isn't it? But what a testimony that he was focused on serving the Lord Jesus. Serving the Lord, serving the Lord. That's what he did. He put it like this elsewhere. He said, this is Paul said, for me to live is Christ. That's what he said. For me, everything about my living has to do with the Lord Jesus. Everything. My work, my play, my attitude, my demeanor, my response, my hurting heart, my growing weariness in well-doing. You can be so kind and so gracious and so loving for so long that after a while it can wear you down. You can make phone calls and serve meals, offer someone a helping hand, but after a while it can wear you down. It's not a criminal activity. It's a human disposition. And God, by His Spirit, will refresh your heart. You are being refreshed right now. I'm so glad that we can meet like this, because this is God's encouraging word. I want you to be encouraged in your heart today, because this is what Jesus does. He encourages us. He takes a hold of our lives, and He lifts us up, and He blesses us. And this Jesus whom he talked about, that was the focus of what he did and how he lived, is the same Jesus of which we speak to you today. Do you know Jesus? I can dare say if Paul was able to stand alongside me, I really believe Paul would say, I didn't do this. Jesus did this in me. Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, even Paul said, the good that I would that I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. Paul called himself a wretched man. I absolutely don't agree, but he said it. Paul knew that he was a sinner saved only by the grace of God. And friend, I want you to know that I'm inviting you today to turn your life over to the same Jesus. When you turn your life over to Jesus, the first thing that will happen is that you will be completely forgiven of your sin. When He comes into your life, He forgives you because He went to a cross and He paid the price, the penalty. God's Son, the only begotten one, gave His life so that you and I might have life. And when you give your heart to Jesus, you receive forgiveness because you and I are sinners as charged, just like Paul. Just like Dr. Charles Stanley, just like Mr. Walter Green, all of us are sinners. And Jesus, when you give your life to Christ, He comes into your heart, and that clean feeling is the most wonderful in all the world. I can't explain to you how amazingly wonderful it is to know that you've sinned and then to know that you've been forgiven 100%. It's like, what is this? Because that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. And then having forgiven us, His Spirit comes into our hearts and into our lives, and He empowers us, He inhabits us, and He gives us the ability to be able to do the things that Paul is saying that you and I know are well nigh impossible to do. How do we keep this up? How do we have a powerful testimony? How do we live our lives serving the Lord all the days of our lives? How do we maintain that consistency? How do we keep flying the flag of faithfulness? God does it by His Spirit. That's what happens when you give your heart to Jesus. And then if that's not enough, you know what He does? He gets out His pen and He writes our name in God's book in heaven, in His blood. Because it's the blood of Jesus which provides us with the full and complete access into the presence of God. So now get this. If it weren't for the fact that Jesus took your place, gave His blood, His life, how do you suppose you could ever come into the presence of a God who is totally and completely holy and righteous? You couldn't do it. None of us can. But when Jesus comes into your heart, as He did with Paul, that's exactly what happens. You immediately are reconciled to a holy and a righteous God. God welcomes you into His presence. I want to ask you today, would you give your heart to Jesus? Would you pray this prayer with me? Would you make this your prayer? I cannot give you forgiveness or save you. I certainly cannot write your name in God's book in heaven. But I can show you how to do it, as the Bible tells us. The Bible says that if we believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess that Jesus alone is Lord, you'll be saved. You ready to do that? Pray this prayer with me, your prayer. You make this your prayer. Dear God, I know that You love me. I confess that Jesus Christ alone is Lord. I believe that You, God, raised Jesus from the dead and that He's alive. And just like Paul preached even here in Miletus, speaking to the leaders, he preached repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, as we try to understand this powerful testimony, right now there are people beginning their own powerful testimony. Lord Jesus, I invite You to come into my heart today. I repent toward God of all my sin, and I place my faith in Jesus. I hear the heart of heaven beating. I hear the heart of heaven beating. Jesus saves. Can you hear the heart of heaven beating? Because Jesus saves. Today, we want to welcome you into the family of God. We want to link arms with you and hearts with you. It's so amazing how that Paul, about to leave and go back to Jerusalem, he called the spiritual leaders and he said, you know, I tell you, the gathering of the church and the friendships, it's God's plan.
It is a powerful testimony, a great representation of what God has done in the life of Paul and so many between him and where we are right now. Here, as we look to this particular day, has the Lord stirred your heart to change, to adjust course, to make a unique step of faith? If so, we'd love to pray with you about that. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD, and it will connect with one of us not just now, but 24 hours a day. That's 866-899-9673. And perhaps before you call, take a minute and listen to this final thought from Dr. Don Wilson.
Thank you for your partnership with the Encouraging Word. God's doing great and wonderful things. And I want you to know that I pray for you. I want to pray for you right now. In fact, you can see that number on the television screen. We've got people 24/7 praying for you. You can call in your prayer requests at any time. Let me pray for you right now. Dear God, I want to pray for my precious friends right now and for someone especially in need of prayer. Lord Jesus, please touch them. Touch their lives and be a blessing to them today in every way. And I pray this in the strong and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
If the Lord has spoken to you, sometimes we hear the pastor's voice and we realize we're really not hearing his message or the scriptures even these he's speaking, but the Lord has stirred our hearts to a change, to a correction. If that's the case, let us pray you through the next steps. Our phone number again is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And first and foremost, that connects you to a live person happy to talk and listen and pray with you, but it also allows you to connect with our team that's a part of the Daily Encouraging Word, whether it's on radio, on podcast, the television broadcast, as I mentioned tonight, will be on TBN at 6:30. All of these things come together for one purpose, and that's to lift up the name of Jesus and watch God work in seeing people come to Him as Savior and Lord. As a matter of fact, if you're interested in helping us do that, would you consider becoming an encourager?
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together, we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
That number again is 866-899-WORD. We would love to hear from you, 866-899-9673, or connect with us online at theencouragingword.org.